Now, is there a TV programme she's not in, or indeed a magazine that doesn't feature her? Let me speak to Denise Welsh, actress. Denise, good morning.
Frank, how are you?
I am very, very well, girl. Of all the things you do on the telly, or that you've been in on the telly, which one has been your favourite?
Oh my goodness, there's been such a cross section. I think probably of all the things from a purely fun point of view was in the 90s when I did Soldier Soldier. And it was like being sent away with all your best friends abroad to exotic locations. That was probably from a fun point of view. But, you know, I got as much fun in the early days of doing tours of Drop Your Knickers and Cry Murder around sort of places like Skegness. I've had a great, very varied career, and I've loved some more than others. And luckily, I'm back on the acting track now. I think the celebrity side took over a little bit, Frank, for a while, and I've sort of put that to bed for a bit and concentrating on what I do best again.
And when you say the acting side, because the celebrity side sometimes was negative towards you, wasn't it?
Yes,
or certainly
very,
the people covering it.
Yeah, very, very negative. And you know something, Frank? I've always been a little bit of a tabloid target. They tend to pick on certain people. But having said that, I take responsibility for a lot of those headlines. For some of those headlines, and not for others. I was also involved in a programme like Loose Women, which the success of that show was very much on us talking about ourselves and our journeys, good or bad, in life. And therefore you do put yourself out there, and you know, you've sort of aired your dirty linen in public, as it were, and so people pick on it. And as I say, it's my life went a little bit down the wrong track, but you know, I've been sober for 3 years. I don't even smoke. I'm like Sandra Dee. I don't drink or swear. I don't rep my hair. I get ill on one cigarette. That's what I feel like now. I'm a goody-goody two-shoes now, but I'm loving every minute of it, and I'm back doing my acting.
Yeah, and I see you've teamed up with Dr. Hillary, who's on our programme almost on a regular basis now. Hillary, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yeah, the two of you have teamed up actually to give some sound advice from a health perspective. People will expect it from you. They'll be wondering what input Denise has, but maybe it's best to listen to someone who's had their problems and their issues.
We're tackling this issue from different angles. Denise is very happy to talk about her personal experience of weight loss and cross addiction. I'd like to explain the science of food addiction, which to many people would say, well, come on, it's not really an addiction, is it, like recreational drugs or exercise or whatever? But actually it is. If people ask themselves, do they crave sweet foods? Yes, they do. Do they become tolerant to that? In other words, can they just eat one chocolate biscuit, or do they want the whole packet? Most people would say, yeah, I'd like the whole packet. Do you feel guilty about having done that? Yes, you do. Do you feel that you should stop or reduce that eating behavior? Yes, you do. Despite the consequences, do you do it? Yes, you do. All of those things are in common to any addiction, mm-hmm. whether it's addiction to cocaine or addiction to... So that's why many people find it so difficult to cut down on what they eat and how much they eat, and find it difficult to lose the weight. What's needed is a recognition of why the addiction occurs, how to address it, and the fact that what goes on in your head, it depends, you know, dictates what goes on or what you put into your mouth. So changing your behavior regarding food is vital if you want to lose weight and keep it off.
And how did you manage to do it, Denise? How did you come back from being someone who was splashed across the tabloids as an alcoholic, as someone who was overeating, to being so slim and trim and dry now? What was it that helped you?
Well, it was obviously different stages. As regards the alcohol, I don't blame clinical depression. But there is no doubt, when I had my first son 25 years ago, I suffered severe postnatal depression, which unfortunately for me led to a lifetime of clinical depression. And that was how my life started to go into free fall. I get a bit choked when I talk about it, so excuse me. But anyway, because I've had a lot of flack for it, but that was actually the reasons why my life started to fall apart in many, many ways. Anyway, which of course led to excessive alcohol use and recreational drug use, which then, of course, I take on board that I took it all too far, whatever. When I met my husband 3 years ago, he had also had problems, and we decided that our love for each other was great. We wanted to clean up for many, many reasons, and we gave up alcohol, and we sort of anchored each other, really. Then what I found was, very gradually, I'd never really had an issue with food, but of course I realized that my weight was influenced by my poor lifestyle. And it was only when I stopped drinking that I realized I was eating for comfort. I was still trying to sort of fill a hole, and that I would go on these diets and sort of lose some weight, but then I just put the weight back on again, and I'd replace the alcohol addiction with food addiction. I was introduced to the Lighter Life program, and I thought, oh my goodness, they want me to go to sort of group therapy. I really don't want to go to that anyway. They encourage you to have the go to groups if you're going on the total diet, and it was the key to me turning another phase of my life around. I learned that it's not just a case of putting a lock on the cookie jar. It's why you want to prise that lock open, and often in secret. And I learned why I was eating the way that I was, and I could apply those tools that I've learned, which is really cognitive behavioral therapy, to alcohol. And indeed, what I've learned through the Lighter Life program has actually helped me in my endeavor to stop smoking, which I've now done 7 months without a
well listen fair play to you. There's one thing I do want to ask you, because I've been a fan of him down the years since Ovita Sen Pet. Was it a plus being married to Tim Healy, or was that challenging being so much in the public eye, both of you being famous?
I was married for 24 years to Tim, and to steal a Dawn French quote, I had many more happy years with him than I had unhappy years. But, you know, we both had our problems, and I took the flak for most of them. We've remained great friends. And yes, it was difficult, both of us being in the public eye, but no more difficult than lots of things. I don't excuse my behaviour. You know, it is what it is, and I'm just glad that I've learned, you know, with the tools that I've learned from Lighter Life, and with the tools I've learned anyway to turn my life around. And I just live now a very happy, contented life. I wish I'd done it earlier, but I didn't. You know, I've got two children who are wonderful and doing great in life, and so I haven't, it hasn't been all bad.
Well, listen, good on you, Denise. Really pleased that you have turned it around, because we felt for you when it was at its low ebb. It's great that you are back. Just very, very briefly, and I need it as briefly as you can, Coronation Street or Benidorm?
Because I've been in both. It has to be, well, Coronation Street, because I've watched it since I was a kid. But I love Benidorm, and I love Tim in Benidorm.
It's class. Lovely speaking to you, Denise. Thanks for your time. Dr. Hillary, thanks as well.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks indeed. We're out of time, almost on top of the news at 12 o'clock.